Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, if you would turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10. We'll be in Mark chapter 10. We're talking about the serving king this morning. But first, I need four volunteers who have a more competitive side to them. All right, I think we got some in here. I don't want you to volunteer other people. I want to volunteer yourself, okay? All right. Stand right where you're at. Stand right where you're at. Stand right where you're at in the white. I don't take people volunteering other people, no. Any competitive people over here? Nobody's competitive? Okay. Okay, all right, stand up. And let's go right over here. Yep. Okay. All girls today. All right. Are you ready? Okay. There is chocolate on the stage. Go find it. Ready, set, go. Where could it be? Where could it be? It is on the stage, trust me. Look high, look low. Are we getting close? I sure hope so. All right, I don't know. You guys said you were competitive. Don't trip, don't trip. All right, you guys are really cold, actually. You guys are really cold. I'm not going to tell you. You're competitive. Figure it out. I didn't think I was that difficult with this, but we'll see here. All right, you're probably the warmest. You're probably the warmest over here. Let's go that half of the stage. Let's go that half, maybe back a little bit. This is incredible. Anybody else competitive in the audience? All right, come out, come out, come out. Come help, come help. There is chocolate on the stage. Come on up. You can do it. You can do it. Look high, look low. Nobody's found it yet. Come on and help. Come on. Yes. All right. You guys stay up here, though. You guys stay up here. Everybody else can have a seat. Let's give a hand. All right. What is your name?
Lucas.
All right, this is Lucas. Shh. All right, Lucas. Are you generally a competitive person?
Yes.
Why?
It's my nature.
It's your nature? Okay. Do you like to win or do you like to lose?
Win.
Okay, why? Why do you like to win?
It's more fun.
It is more fun, okay. Gotcha. Is there anything that you're really competitive in? Like you get really into it?
Baseball and my siblings. I get competitive with my siblings.
That's probably true for a lot of us, right? Sports, things with our siblings, anything with our siblings, right? Thanks, Luke. For me, it's you're going to see a competitive side of me when I'm coaching basketball. You're going to see a competitive side of me when I'm playing foosball. Got into that a little bit yesterday. You're going to see me competitive when I play Mario Kart against my kids. Luigi number one. Yeah, yeah. No Luigi fans? Okay. All right, let's be clear here. Competition is positive in many ways. We learn lots of lessons from sports. We're competitive in many things, and that's okay. It's part of bringing our talents out. It motivates us in many positive ways, but competition can become a problem as well. when I just have to be first or else I lose my confidence. That can be a problem. When competition and winning and being the greatest is all that I care about, it becomes a problem. When I'm willing to cheat or to lie in order to be first or best or to get what I want, it can become a problem. When I'm willing to use others or when I think only of myself and putting myself in the best positions, it's a problem. Many things in your world are competitive. Grades, sports, trying out for parts in the musical, being in the top spots or the top seats in the band. Much of our culture here in America is based on competition, being the best, outshining everybody else, being the top dog. Well, let me read to you a story where Jesus said it isn't about being first. It comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. We're going to see that the big idea that Jesus is communicating in this story is that if you want to be first in God's eyes, you become a servant. You learn to actually put others in front of you willingly. All right, so let's look at this. The verses are on the screen as well. And James and John, these are two of Jesus' disciples, they came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant to us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at the right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Three things happen here. First, we have an audacious request. An audacious request. You may or may not know the word audacious, but it means bold, so bold that it's kind of inappropriate. James and John are asking for the positions of prestige, power, and authority in heaven. Kind of a bold request, right? It's especially audacious if you look at what happens before this story. Before this story, Jesus is predicting that he is going to die and suffer in order to serve all of mankind. It would be like if I went up to you and I said, "Today, at free time, we're going to go to the craft shack and you're going to tie-dye a shirt for me. And then we're going to go to the trading post and you're going to buy me a Chipwich." That'd be ridiculous. And you'd be like, "Why is this person asking this?" And the only response I would give in return would be, "Because I want it. Because you owe it to me. I deserve it." That's the spirit of this request. James and John are asking this for this outrageous request to have these positions that are to the right and left of the throne in heaven. How inappropriate, especially their timing. Jesus responds actually very gently here. He says, "Are you sure about that? Because if you're going to be seen as great in the kingdom of God, it's going to mean that you've served. It's going to mean that you sacrifice. It's going to even mean that you suffer. When he talks in the Bible here about drinking the cup and being baptized, he's referring to suffering. And in their boldness, James and John are just like, yeah, we can do that. Jesus says, actually, you will. And in fact, they did, because we know from Christian history that James was executed for speaking the name of Jesus. We know that John was put in prison because of speaking for Jesus. He was exiled to an isolated island and died there all alone. They did suffer for Jesus. But in this moment, it wasn't their top moment here, because they are making this audacious request. And how do the disciples respond to the two of them doing this? Well, they overhear and they're indignant, which means that they're angry at them. It gets under their skin that they're asking for the top spots. And I can understand that. I bet you can too. Have you ever been annoyed when somebody asks for something special and their request is granted? They've kind of gone around the system. Maybe they've cut corners. Maybe they've cheated. Maybe they've cut in line. That gets under our skin, because we all want to be first. We all want to be at the front. We all want to be the top dog. We see here that the disciples are infuriated by James and John politicking for positions of power and prestige. They're trying to go behind everybody else's back in order to get the top spot. That would anger any of us, because we all like to be first. We like the best seats at the table. We like to sit in the front seat of the car. We like to be the one holding up the trophy. We like to be the one out of our siblings that's praised by our parents in public. Jesus then takes the opportunity to teach a lesson. He pulls all 12 disciples in close, and he tells them what true greatness is like in the kingdom of God. And he wants to teach you the same thing today. The big idea this morning is, if you want to be great in God's eyes, be a servant. If you want to be great in God's eyes, be a servant. Let others be first. Celebrate when others do well. Help others succeed. Do what you can to serve others. Jesus says, you've heard it said by the Gentile leaders that you need to lord it over others, meaning you need to use your power and position for yourself. You need to ensure that you keep that power and position by making sure that everybody knows who's boss. You need to do what you can to preserve your position in society. But what does he say? He says, not so with you. He's looking at his disciples and he's saying, if you're following Jesus, it's not that system. It's not about being first. It's not about being greatest. It's actually the opposite. It's about being last and being a servant. The world thinks, up to this day, it thinks that it's all about winning and being first and being in charge and being powerful. But Jesus said that's backwards. If you want to be great in God's eyes, be a servant. Jesus showed a great example of this in another place. In John chapter 13, verses 12 to 15, we have Jesus washing his disciples' feet. How ridiculous this must have felt to the disciples. The guy who they were following around, the guy who was the star when they traveled around and he was teaching and working miracles, he's the one that's on the ground washing their grimy, dirty feet. In that culture, they wore sandals, and it was dusty. And so it was a gross task to wash feet. It was normally the lowest servant in the house that carried out that task for guests when they came to a house. Jesus, even though he's king, he lowers himself to the lowest earthly servant and washes his disciples' feet. And what does he say after? Look at it right here. Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. That's who I am. If I then, your Lord, which means king, your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, this is just a small thing compared to what Jesus eventually did. Even though he was the king, we've already talked about this, he suffered and died an innocent death on a cross in order to serve you, in order to give you an opportunity for heaven. He sacrificed for you. As we talked about last night, he lays down his life for the sheep. But I want you to see that as Christians, it should be evident that we live by a different value system. It's not about putting ourselves on a pedestal. It's about serving the Lord and serving other people. Now, does this mean you can't be competitive? Absolutely not. Like, if nobody tries in the game, it's not fun. If you don't try, then your team is going to feel let down. So competition in and of itself is not evil or bad, but it's important that you keep perspective on it. In the end, life is not about winning. Life is not about having the best results or being in the top positions. Our life is to be modeled after Jesus, who came to serve and to give his life for others. All right, now I need your help. To apply it, let's think of some ideas here. I'm going to ask you to write down on your paper, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down serving at home, serving at my school and church, and three, serving here at camp. I want you to think with me of ways that you can serve in those three environments, okay? First, I do want you to start writing down some ideas. How can I serve my family at home? Two, I want you to start to write down from your own mind some ideas for how to serve others at school or and at church, places where you're social. And then finally, because we can start applying this today, what are some ways that you can serve your cabin and fellow campers here at Miracle Camp? Okay? And I want some ideas from you. So let's start. What are some ways that generally you would be able to serve your family at home? Yeah. Doing chores. Okay, doing chores. Good. What else? Yes. Babysitting my tornado little brother. How many of you have little siblings? It takes some effort. It takes you having some willingness to be a servant, to pay attention to your younger siblings, to entertain your younger siblings, to have fun with them. I was the youngest child in my family. My older sister Emily and I were it. And it meant the world to me when Emily paid attention to me when we were growing up. She was 4 years older. Your younger siblings look up to you, for better or for worse. Will you take advantage of the opportunity that you have to be a good role model to them and to be an influence in their lives? Good. Younger siblings. How else might you be able to serve your family at home? Let's get a couple more. Mowing the lawn, good. When it comes to chores, there's certain things that you're probably expected to do just because you're supposed to contribute to your family. I want to encourage you to take it a step further and surprise your parents by doing something you're not expected to do necessarily, by chipping in and helping somebody else with the things that they're doing around the house. That'll floor them. That will show that you love them in a very special way. Okay? Yeah.
Like helping them with meals. Like,
yeah.
And like being more patient with your siblings.
Good. So two good ones there. Helping out with meals, being patient with siblings. There's a lot of things that you just kind of naturally expect to be done for you by other members of the family. What if you kind of turned the tables and thought of ways that you could do those things for your family? Good. All right, let's go to another environment. Let's go to school and to church, okay? Places where you're social. How could you follow Jesus' example and be a servant in those areas of your life? Any suggestions? Yes. Yeah, so I'm a teacher in a classroom for part of the day every day, and there's always stuff on the floor. There's always books left behind. What if you were the one that helped the teacher to get the chair straightened up and you helped make sure that if somebody left something behind, that you helped and served by taking it to them? Not for brownie points, right, from the teacher, but because you just want to be helpful. Good. What else? How could you serve in church or school? Yeah. Yeah, help somebody with their homework. The concepts that you understand, there's others who probably are having a hard time understanding those, and vice versa. Like, there's times where you need the help of somebody else in class. Be the person who's willing to help others. Good. Let's get a couple more. Yeah, Blue. Awesome. So you guys are of the age where you guys can contribute so much to your churches. One of those ways is to simply be of help in the kids' ministry or the children's ministry of your church. Good. Good, Braden. He said, just being a light in a dark place, and when there's a lot of negativity, being the one who decides, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to try to lift up this environment a little bit. Okay, good. Let's go to the last one. Okay, ways that you can be a servant here at camp. What are some ways that you could serve your cabin and others this week? Yep.
Doing an extra chore.
What?
Doing an extra chore.
Yeah, doing an extra chore. Fine. Good. There. Yeah, just cleaning up your stuff. It's not rocket science. How can you make sure that others aren't bothered by your stuff? Good. What else? Yep. Okay, yeah. Helping your counselor when given instructions to be a good example and to follow those instructions right away. Good. What else? Yeah. Being quiet after lights are out so that people who want to sleep can sleep. Good. Have we had some trouble with that this week or what? Oh, okay, I get it. All right. What about some other ways? All the way in the back. Let's quiet down. Shh. All right, in the back. Yeah, picking trash off the ground. I want you to know that there's a lot of people who serve in public roles and in private roles here around camp. The Miracle Camp staff has 45 who work during the summer. And then it has 12 full-time year-round employees and 30 other part-time staff who work on maintenance and housekeeping and in the kitchen. There's all kinds of people around you who are making this an amazing place because they want to serve the Lord. They're following Jesus' example. So how can you contribute to camp? How can you serve others? It might be through a note of encouragement. It might be asking your counselor if there's anything that you can do to help them. It might be buying a chipwich for someone. There's so many ways to serve, and it needs to start today. This is an application message. This isn't hard to understand. This is something that we just need to decide, I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Jesus' example. Because he served me, I'm going to be a servant of others. I'm not going to take any more right now, but in your cabins, I want you to continue this conversation of getting really practical with how you can serve other people. If you want to be great in God's eyes, learn to be a servant. Let me put up a summary here. Jesus came full of power and authority, yet used his high status for the sake of others. Jesus leads us by showing that true love shows itself in serving. As we go out today and as we carry on the rest of our summer, let's not just think through the lens of ourselves. Instead, let's be a servant. Instead of needing to be best or greatest or in the limelight all the time or being popular, let's decide that we're willing to be last for the sake of others. Let's think others first for a change. Let's celebrate others when they do well. Let's help others when they need help. Let's do what we can to serve others, and it'll bring great honor and glory to Jesus because he is the serving king. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.